This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
It's adventure. It's the moment when everything happens. Contact. Let's make contact. On Radio Free Cybertron, episode 592, I am Brian Kilby. And we are just BSing here on scale, and for whatever reason, now we have 3, 2, 1, contact!
Contact.
Stuck in our head. Was that the show that had MathNet?
Square One.
Yes. Yeah,
and,
okay.
And Bloodhound Gang.
Okay.
Yeah, Bloodhound Gang was 3, 2, 1, contact. Square One was MathNet.
I loved Square One.
I love, like,
I was the Square One
kid. We've got the crime, we've got the time. Where the blood
I need to, like, find that and show it to my kids. They'll be like, what in the hell is this?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you show them MathNet.
Yeah. God, MathNet was, like, right on the periphery of, like, being recent enough, you know, that kid might remember Dragnet from, like, you know, right. Nick at Night or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, when MathNet was out, you could conceivably find Dragnet in, like, syndication reruns.
And that Dragnet movie came out, and it might be on, like, Saturday afternoon TV. Hey, well, never mind. This is Transformers. Hey, we're talking.
But we have no news this week, so expect a lot of news.
That's Chris, and there's Diecast, and Don, and Matt is going to be super happy this week. And
for, like, 5 minutes.
Probably 5 minutes. Yeah. And Jason, and Rob, and John, we're all here.
We're all here.
Hey, thanks for covering for me last week. I was sick, so sick, and I couldn't do the show, so I appreciate it. So I just want to get my 2 cents in. I think it was Diecast, because I literally just listened to the last week's show yesterday, who said that he's now excited for Siege. Sign me up. I am now excited for Siege.
Yep.
Yes.
There are bits of that I really do like the look of, I will admit.
Yeah, like the flywheels. Like, I didn't even realize that until I listened to the show that was a thing. So, mm-hmm. So that makes me happy.
Okay, but what about Brunt?
Brunt is amazing. Uh-huh. That is amazing. And, you know, I've never even thought about it being a robot. And yet, there it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty. So, I forgot, it was on Twitter. I think somebody said, why does this look like the tank that came with Trypticon? Because it is the tank that came with Trypticon, but now it's a robot.
Well, I guess I can kind of understand, because it's like Slammer never had a robot mode, and if they turn Brunt into Slammer and he has a robot mode, I can see why we kind of, like, is this a new character? Are they trying to homage it? You know, I can see why that could possibly be a bumfuzzlement.
Yeah. Hey, so last week, did we get anything? Was post show. I didn't get to listen to it. All I know is Matt didn't have anything that was off topic, so I turned it off. So, I want to start off with what I got this week, because I wasn't here, so I haven't had a chance to open them yet, again, because I've been sick. But I got Shadow Raider and Bumblebee from the Studio Series off the Amazons.
There sure is a size disparity there, isn't there?
A little bit.
Yeah.
just slightly.
So if you want to hear our opinion scale on scale in deluxes, hopefully Brian will edit it in.
Yeah, rewind to the pre-show.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, the scale problem on those two figures really does sting. So,
okay.
Yeah,
so
if you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, you should always go and check out the YouTube upload of the show for the pre-show and post-show content that may or may not make the show on any given week.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really good, like it was this week.
So,
it was good content.
It was good content. So, also this week, the My Little Pony and Transformers Bumblebee Robots in Disguise. Oh, yeah, figure, Cyberverse, God. Well, K-Figures hit the Happy Meals. And the reason I said Robots in Disguise is because I ordered a Happy Meal and I was super excited, and I got a Robots in Disguise.
That's really weird.
You got a My Little Pony. I was like, that is great.
This is what they gave me.
Yeah, I want to know if you would have got the My Little Pony Happy Meal, if it would have been a My Little Pony from the previous promotion.
So for my girls, they each got My Little Pony, and I got a Transformer. And they got My Little Pony, and I got this. Yeah. Really disappointed by that.
That's really weird.
Yeah. So the I'm giving this to the kids so they can, you know, be disappointed just like I was.
Good.
Does it have any articulation?
It has, the arms move.
Okay.
And
it's good to expose the children to disappointment early in life so that they can be used to how the rest of their life is going
to
play out.
You know, I hate to point out that they're used to that, which is why they're here. But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of want to make things good for them. But, you know, just it's they don't think of this as like, oh, it's a crappy toy. They just think of it, oh, it's more toys.
That's a good perspective.
As I was cleaning out my office.
Wanting to make things nice, I missed that kind of excitement about office, yes, a while anyway.
As I was going through cleaning out my office this week, because I bought another Kallax, the 5x5, and I'll have photos up hopefully in the next week as I start loading it up. I just found that I had a bunch of extra stuff that, you know, I didn't have room for. Some of it went to the office, but there's certain things like this animatronic monkey that I had that I wanted for some reason like a year and a half ago. And I thought, God, why do I do this? Do I donate it? I'm like, oh no, I have kids now. So they are happy with this voice activated monkey.
Oh, that's okay. What you get for dialing in for monkey.
So I also have that, that Squeaks from, last night, the remote control one that might make it to the girls. If anybody wants that, Ollie's has it for $20, which I think is actually cheaper than what I paid at Walmart on clearance.
Hey, speaking of Ollie's,
I saw those for like $12 at Walmart at one point.
Yeah, speaking of Ollie's, I did want to mention this. I got a 25% off toys for Sunday. It's Sunday, December 9th. From 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So if you're an Ollie's member, look out for that.
I didn't
get
it. That
should be coming.
Is that for,
came today.
Is it one item or multiple?
Anything. Anything, your whole order from 6 to 10 p.m.
So when is it?
9th.
December. Oh, December. Oh. That is the family night for Christmas. They do that every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. 25% off.
Oh, it's awesome.
Pretty good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a family tradition for us, and the kids will be introduced to that this year. We go to Ollie's Family Night every single year. Never, I haven't missed one in like 5 years.
Because they do have some Transformers. Most Ollie's have some Transformers right now, so.
Yeah, mine has everything but Trypticon, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
That means you can pick up an Overlord.
Of Trypticon's coming back in stock at Ollie's too. Last push.
Yeah, mine restocked Trypticon. It wasn't another full pallet, but there were 5 or 6 more there last time I went looking.
Triplet found like 25 or 30 at Ollie's. Formerly my local one. So yeah, they're making their way back. He bought another one.
The Titans Return Deluxes are taking up all the space in my Ollie's, and it is not anything that anybody needs either. It's the Trigger Happy and Croc.
Yeah. So for me, it's mostly
needs
Hot
a
Rod.
Trigger Happy and a Croc, but I mean, you know,
well, yes, everybody needs a Croc. Yeah.
Mine has a ton of the Walmart Hot Rods from the last night, but no Cogmans.
Yeah.
Sad. Okay. Who else got something? Chris, did you get anything?
Not this week.
Diecast?
Yes, 5 pounds of unexpected cheese.
Diecast.
Yeah, I didn't get anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow. This is going to be a short show.
It is. Hey, that's fine. I'm sick, and I've got,
Diecast, you had one job, and that was to buy stuff.
I know.
And I have to feverishly prepare for a DSS home visit tomorrow for the foster kids that I have to do monthly. So I'm fine with a short show. Matt, anything?
Nothing.
Wow. Don.
Yes, I did.
Thank God, Don.
Yes, I did. I left it in the car, but I was at Ross and picked up the Walmart exclusive hot rod, the Legends Class hot rod. That was a Walmart exclusive. I picked that up. And also, a couple of things I picked up. Thanks to Amazon, I got...
Oh, got loud.
Don't call.
Yeah. He must have the automatic gain control set.
Yeah, it's Skype compensating his volume because he got far away.
Okay. Oh, I got stuff falling.
We need to fix that.
I picked up Voyager Ironhide.
Oh, where'd you find him at?
Amazon. I got him off Amazon.
Oh, that's nice.
How much?
I had... After what I had left on a gift card from my bank after turning in points, $20.
I thought you were saying
what was the sticker price, Don?
Retail, $29.99
okay.
Free shipping.
Oh, not bad. I was going to say, like, turning in family members for, like, lapsed payments or something.
And
I mean, give us time. We'll get to that point.
Yeah, Don be like, after I went to the warehouse and swept it for, like, an hour, they just gave it to me.
Whatever gets the job done. Another something that I actually kind of like a little more, thanks to Target right now, has the 10 off 50, 25 off 100. And I made a bulk purchase of a couple of things I've been looking at, some Big Hero 6 figures and some other things, plus that Soundwave that I've got up on sale on Twitter. Picked up Cyberverse Optimus. I wanted one figure from the line. This one I don't hate and despise. It's a good-looking figure in robot mode. In vehicle mode, the Matrix Mega Shot is a little tricky about wanting to not engage on its own, but with what I paid after the discount and getting all the other stuff, he was like $15. So, I mean, it's a nice looking op. Other than I wish the hands, like everyone wishes you can say they're like brass knuckles or something he punches you with. I wish they had folded down, folded up, folded away, something, but it's not a bad thing. Did not do any Dynamics with this, but at the price I couldn't resist. I decided to bite the bullet and replace my broke Primitive Optimus Prime.
Oh.
I got it for $80 and like $7.50 shipping.
Hey, that's pretty good.
So yeah. It's a lot cheaper than what I had seen, so now I can replace the one that broke during the Massey attack. So I can replace that.
I might talk to you after the show about maybe getting some of your spare accessories off of that, if that's okay with you, Don.
Okay. I think all that stuff.
So he did do some Dynamics. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah. And I am making this is a RFC radio exclusive on the air, thanks to the most wonderful girlfriend a guy can have.
Oh, my God.
Because she did something for me. She loves bargain hunting as much as I do, and she loves to go in and make the deals and all that kind of stuff. And she got me an early Christmas gift, and for that I thank her for that. She's the best girlfriend in the world. Devastator gift set.
Nice.
She is a keeper, Dawn.
She saw the show last week. How I mentioned I was looking forward to getting this because my original gift set she watches. Is all. When she has time.
Oh, no.
She works in the local school system, so she's usually busy with, you know, other stuff like that. But
watch my mouth in the future.
Yeah. She said that she saw how much I wanted to get it, and like I said, I wanted it mainly just to keep it in the box because my original one, after 30 years, is kind of gone. And so this is basically going to sit on the shelf beside Starscream and say, My precious.
So we are not under SEC regulation, so I can send a message to one person, which you can't do over the air on radio. You know, I love Don. He's a wonderful man. He is like the best guy. He is a great catch. You sound like a great lady, and Don's a great guy. And I love this man, and I would give him a kidney if I needed to. If I needed a tax break and give a kidney away. But you know what? If I ever say anything or maybe snap at him or show like I have a short temper, it's all an act. I'm faking. 130%.
I just want to mention,
you're breaking kayfabe, Brian.
Did mention that Ironhide was available on Amazon. I went and checked. And it's not the first choice. The first choice is like $45, but if you hit other sellers, Amazon has it in stock for $29.99. I don't know why that doesn't pop up first.
Because they can make more money off the other one. I don't know.
But I did. I also just.
It should prioritize. It should prioritize the least expensive.
Yeah,
it should.
A friend of mine. A friend of mine works for a major manufacturer of. A hardware, and she said what happens a lot of times, Chinese companies knock off their product and they steal their ASIN number and they put it up on Amazon and they sell it for like a tenth of the price, and Amazon forces the visibility of the cheapest product. And sometimes it actually, because they who sell their parts directly for the actual price, Amazon sometimes delists them because they're not the, you know, close to the price of the knockoff. So stuff like that happens.
It's anyway, tfradio.net/studio, I think, to yes. go see the whole selection of Studio yeah. Series stuff, which should include Voyager Ironhide at SRP if you're interested.
And Triple
X. Thanks, Don. I was waiting for that one to show up.
So. Yeah, actually, I ordered that last week before the show even aired. I thought everyone knew about that, so that's why I didn't mention it. I thought it was a common knowledge thing. Yeah. But
so Walmart. Amazon also has Optimal Optimus from a third-party seller. And it is like it's over retail, but I mean being
like about $65, I think.
$64, yeah. So being the I guess the last leader class toy from the line, I mean I guess there's a chance that you might not see it, so
yeah,
it might be worth picking up.
Yeah. Did Triple just pick one up in store? I think
he said it's from Amazon.
No, oh, yeah, okay. it was retail.
So as soon as the show's over, I'm doing the same.
Yeah, you know what else Amazon has is the pre-order for the Masterpiece movie Bumblebee.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I can't wait to get that.
Yeah, I haven't checked on what the prices of SDCZ Primal is, but maybe if you wait long enough. I mean, again, it depends on how long you want to wait, obviously. But I got this replacement SDCZ Primal Primitive Prime for $80. But it did take me, you know, almost that long to get a replacement.
Over a year.
Cost.
Because it came out over a year ago.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Because, you know, like I said, the other one, the leg just snapped and everything. But, you know, maybe if you see, I don't have any desire for the regular release Primal Optimus. Now, Diecast has me doing it. But I'm glad I got the SDCC version for really not much more than retail. So
yeah, because the Takara release of that is going to happen, I think, at the end of this year.
Yeah.
And after that point, the prices of the SDCC ones should come down at least to match what the Japanese one's going for.
Right. So I mean, it depends on, because Optimal Optimus is my least favorite of his three forms, not counting the Beast Machine stuff.
But it looks good in the dark colors.
But what about the original Kenner release, the two-pack?
I wouldn't mind seeing a third party.
The basic two pack.
Hey, okay, cool.
I like those.
That's... Rob, did you get anything?
Not a thing.
John?
Nah, nothing interesting.
Jason?
Actually, yeah, I did.
Oh, cool.
Kind of save the segment. First of all, Don, I can help you out. You're always leaving stuff in your car. What you need is a car that you can put on your desk so you always have it. This right here is what you want to get. And then you always have a car.
Oh, Teen Titans Go Robin.
Yeah, always have a car right there.
Why would I want that on my desk?
All right, so you don't like that style. That's fine. There's also Raven. You can get Raven.
That's so Raven.
Raven's always good. Raven's good.
Actually, I will tell you, the Raven one's awesome because it has a pretty, pretty Pegasus sitting in the driver's seat, which is funny.
What's a Hot Wheel? What is that?
Yeah, it's Hot Wheels. So I did get something.
Not stooping that low.
Yeah. I did get I did find the trading card game.
Oh, nice. Where at?
What? Target.
Target.
I think that's the only place I didn't see. I don't.
Maybe I saw it. I skipped it.
Yeah.
Well, I found the trading card game at Target, but there were no booster packs because I was actually going to pick up a couple.
Well, now.
Yeah, I got booster packs.
Yeah. Well, now, Jason, was yours on like a little sidekick that was on the side of a little cardboard sidekick display? Was it on the shelf?
No, mine was. Mine was by, they were with all the other trading card games, yeah, which are okay, off the side of the registers. Right.
Because it looks like they're being sent in a shipper that is what we call in retail a sidekick that hangs on the side of the aisles, like on the ends. So if you're trying to find it, you can't. Be sure to check the little hanging cardboard shippers as well, because that's where I've seen them in.
Just check the ends of every single aisle in the store.
Mm-hmm. You might
that's
have
what
to.
I did.
Now, I will say that I don't have anyone to play it with, so my son's a little too young to pick it up.
Yeah.
And I guess I could ask my girlfriend if she wants to play, but I have a feeling I know the answer to that.
I don't have any friends, so I'm not playing it.
Are you going to TFCon? Just take it to TFCon.
And I'm not going to make it to TFCon this
Who
year.
Who is so, making it to TFCon?
Eric is, I know that.
Diecast. Matt?
Matt is too, yeah.
Well, if Matt was actually still here, I think he's frozen again.
Okay, Don, are you making it?
No, you're not. I've got cataract surgery and everything else. It's just too many irons in the fire.
Okay. So I was going to make a BotCon pun because cataract sounds like the name of a Cheetor BotCon.
Well, you know, it sounds like
a Shockerack.
It sounds like maybe like a counterpart to like, you know, like CAT scan, like an evil Decepticon medic called cataract.
Yeah, yeah. So CAT scan is the general medic and cataract is the optometrist version.
Oh, that's great. Okay, cool.
And it is a perceptor recolor. Just
okay.
Why not?
I'm trying to think if there was a MASH optometrist. Like in the movie, the dentist was Painless. That was his name. But I can't think of I don't know. I'm just thinking of MASH. Because I love MASH. Hey, and I've got those MASH action figures. They're the best. Okay, is that it? That it? Okay. This Week in History, 2000. Chris, thank you for picking this. It's a good reminder of where we came from.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I was doing the show. Chris and I were doing the show, John, too. This week in history in 2000. This is how much the excitement that we had. The Blockbuster exclusive Kid Rhino VHS tape containing the episodes More Than Meets the Eye, Parts 1 through 3, Aerial Assault, and Cosmic Rust is released. That was big news.
Yeah. And that's not a bad selection of episodes.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, you know, Aerial Assault is weird. Aired before Starscream's Brigade.
Yeah.
So you see the Combaticons before they're actually introduced. So
this was years before we had a DVD set, and there was never a full VHS series release that I recall.
No.
So it would have been prohibitively expensive.
Eight or nine from FHE. I just remember because I taped these on audio tape since I didn't have a VCR player. So I taped all the episodes on audio tape through my recorder. And I just remember the order airing was like, who are these awesome combiners and why have we not seen them? Then the next day, oh, they're Starscream's Brigade.
But this is just such a snapshot of like what the world was at that point. Because a Blockbuster, for one thing, back when Blockbuster was still like the thing.
And, VHS. You know, this,
a VHS of just random episodes. Yeah. There was no hope of getting like a complete series thing until the DVDs actually took some prevalence, which didn't happen for another couple of years after this.
Yeah, I mean,
2000, I was in 11th grade.
2000, Don was 30. On his fourth marriage.
I was 30.
I turned 21 that year. Yeah,
but Aerial Assault was a good little character piece for Slingshot, and I can't remember the airing order completely, but that was one of the first Perceptor-focused episodes, I think, which was kind of nice.
For us, should have been.
Yeah, but that was the big news. So what else was going on at that point? We had Beast Machines. Right. We had some reissues going on at that point, which...
Actually, Beast Machines was over at this point, because the started first 99. Season aired in the end of 1999 entirely, and then... What?
No, go ahead.
What? Canada got season 2 in February of 2000. We got it closer to the summer, I think, on Fox.
It would have been
over by this point.
Yeah. Yes, it did air like that. I forgot.
Yeah. I think at that point in 2000, unless my mind is playing tricks on me, I had ordered or had just found out about
Car Robots. Yeah.
Yeah, and had already, yeah, so that would have been about the time. This time of year, I would have found out.
Yeah, that's about right.
Then placed the order for the entire first wave from Japan.
Yeah, because in summer of 2000, I got a Fire Convoy as a gift from one of my uncles. Because Car Robot started in February or April, I think, of 2000. So we would have been up to, Build King and God Magnus at this point in the Car Robots line.
Let's go to TFExtreme.com real quick and just go back through the history and it doesn't exist anymore.
But that's where you're watching Beast Machines episodes recorded and encoded from Canada.
Yeah.
On real media.
And size of a postage stamp.
And it was I remember having to do that at like overnight and get up at like 3 a.m. to watch it. Uh-huh. And then go back to bed because my internet connection was so slow on dial-up. It had the best chance of downloading in about a 30-minute episode in about 4.5 hours.
Yep. That sounds about right for dial-up, yeah.
Yeah,
Crazy. Okay, but that was the big thing. So, but the big news this week, LG EX, big powered. First look at Legends, Diatlas, Sonic Bomber, and Roadfire.
I'm so glad I got to use the big powered news bullet point 2 weeks in a row.
I know, right?
So am I.
so we had fuzzy low res, like some early photos of like the combined mode, but now we have like beautiful high res pictures in basically every mode and
glorious, glorious color.
Yeah, I mean, Diatlas looks, you know, phenomenal. I didn't think Diatlas was going to look that good.
No, there's, I wasn't expecting
so much retooling. So much retooling on these.
Oh yeah, I mean, these are such, you know, it's like Star Saber. I mean, outside the U.S., Diatlas and them are known more for their scarcity as a toy than the media they're from. But this is just a phenomenal amount of just on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
I wish I cared.
That
you should care.
Yeah,
you better care.
For not caring.
All Sonic. the crap you care about, and this you don't care about this.
Yeah, that's
are
weird.
Now you know
how I feel about Siege Diecast.
I think they look pretty.
Sonic Bomber looks like a brand new toy. Basically, like there's so much retooling there.
Oh yeah, I mean I couldn't tell if I didn't know what mold that was from. I would be like, it's one of those new molds, but with like the same skeleton, you know.
Yeah, essentially it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want an Emusa. Yeah,
that is what
to go with this.
Fourth, a what?
The fourth thing they've done with that mold family now. It's insane.
Now,
it has to help that they went into the Trigger Happy and Misfire mold family with the intent of getting three toys out of them for the retail releases. Like, you know, there has to be, however they have their CAD files set up, a lot of stuff they can easily swap out for different designs that just slot right back in, making it easier to do stuff like this, and then, you know, CNC out a new steel tooling for the replacement parts. Like the whole world of retooling toys and stuff is so different than it was when we started actually learning about this through like BotCon panels and stuff 20 years ago.
Hey, do you think
when it was exciting that they actually bothered to sculpt a new head rather than just repeat whatever was there?
Do you think the prototype of this was made out of wood?
I kind of wish it was.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough to get some Diatlas, Sonic Bomber, and Roadfire. And Roadfire, for all his elusivity, is not a great toy.
That's the least rot of them, Don.
It's more the scarcity makes it desirable than the actual toy itself. But I have to say, from a deco standpoint, they have nailed all the deco. I mean, it's just...
It's beautiful.
I hope Diatlas comes with his own sword of some fashion. If he doesn't, I'll understand from, you know, the budgeting and all that kind of stuff. But I really hope he has his own sword. If not, I'm sure there'll be a third party to make one.
Oh, yes. Dr. Wu will get on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm surprised we have not actually seen an indication of a sword for Diatlas at this point. It may be something that will get revealed later, although the Takara Tomy Mall pictures seem pretty extensive.
Yeah, and it popped up on BBTS today, which I pre-ordered immediately for $156.
Already pre-ordered.
I'm
pleased, because when we were talking about this before, I threw out an estimate of the price being like 15,000 yen, and I like hit that dead on. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this way too long.
So like I think going forward, if we ever, and this is not, you know, we're not asking people to submit any applications because we don't do that. But like if Matt decides he hates this, he hates us, and he wants to leave, and we ever have to replace somebody, we need like a test that we put them through, and an affinity for Zone, fish test, and a love for Zone has to be on it.
Wait, isn't it only one episode? I should probably watch that.
Well, it's one episode, but there's also print material,
a manga, and story pages, which were like whole pages with story from like different magazine issues and whatever TV magazine was around at the time.
Yeah, it's not so much the series, it is somewhat the TV show, but or the OVA, but I don't know, I love the designs, I just love the look of everything here. And
yeah, like Don was saying before, like it's not necessarily that the toys are so great, but like you have to look at it from a certain perspective of where Takara's designs were evolving to, which really led into what Brave became in the early 90s, you know, where you have like the big motorized base units and the stuff that attaches onto it, and you know, you get more this like super vehicle or playset dynamic from it. They did the same thing with Return of Convoy with Star Convoy and Grandus, which we were talking a little bit about in pre-show too. Like, if you're into these toys, motorized toys that are just big and will roll along on their own, and like you can have playsets and battles set up on them, like this is totally fantastic toys for that kind of thing.
Toyetic, exactly. Yeah.
When they were made, they're brilliant, brilliant, expensive toys.
Yeah, they're toys. That's the cool. That's the thing.
Yeah,
there's no mistaking them for anything but toys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Chris, because this is where in the original Daedalus and Star Convoy and all that, you see the beginnings of Brave. You see the aesthetics that would come into play when Takara did their nine different Brave series. Which, you know, still gives me hope that we might see these down the road as Brave recolors if they ever, because we haven't got anything along those lines. But this is a phenomenally looking, good looking set that if you don't have, if you can't afford the originals, and the originals are
cost prohibitive, we shall say.
Pretty much Matt and I could have bought the Battle Gaia or the Guard City sets we saw at the last BotCon for probably about the same price as what these three originals would have run you, which was about $2,500.
Wow, that's gone up since I last paid attention to this, like 15, 16 years ago.
But then,
there you go.
But this is a great alternative.
Well, yeah, and especially if you want something that's more in line with what a modern Transformers toy is than, you know, the rolling playset thing like I was talking about. It's the same way, like, Titans Return Overlord might be more your speed than the original, but if you want like a big chunky toy that does a lot of things and makes a cool base and everything, then yeah, you'd still probably have a desire for the original. Like, I still have a desire for
the original
on that basis.
I want to know who the heads are named after. That's what I want to know. Is do they do it as the Zone characters? Is it the Micromasters that they came with? I just want to know, just out of pure curiosity, where Takara is going with that.
I mean, I am really glad to see this, because it shows that Takara is still going to do some special things, and it's not just the same stuff that Hasbro and them are doing together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because that was actually one of the questions at the event, which I don't think the Hasbro people could answer. But yes, Takara is still going to do their own exclusive stuff every once in a while. It's just going to be a little bit more rare.
Yeah. But sadly, we're going to have to wait like 7 months for this, because it's not due till April, I think.
Well, Big Bad Toys are going to have it in April. It should release late March, so probably 2 weeks or so later on Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah.
So
6 months. Yeah.
Yeah. All good things come to those who wait, Matt.
Oh, yes. I'm willing to wait for this.
All good things?
Come to an end.
The date. What's the date?
All good things come to an end, John. I mean, Don. As I'm trying to say, Jean-Luc. I need to edit that. Yeah,
there's not. Yeah, me and John are just so identical.
Well, I was trying to say John. I was trying to say John Luke and Don at the same time. So,
Don Luke,
Don. Oh my God! Why didn't I see that? So I just did our Skype chat. Shared a picture of my Overlord that I had that was beautiful and pristine. And I wish
that
I still
is
had
beautiful and pristine.
Nice.
Why did you get rid of that?
Well, he had a stupid moment in the mid 2000s.
Yeah, I just, I'm like, oh, I got this, and I paid $400 for it, and I had my fun with it, and I stickered it.
$400 for that.
I won't mention what I got.
Doesn't it
just hurt, Don? Doesn't it just hurt?
I got it mint in silk box.
No, because I got my Overlord and
but yours was in 1994,
different. My Overlord and my Lion Kaiser was $150 for the pair shipped.
Yeah. Ooh. That's my biggest Transformer sell-off.
That was a lot of Legends Bumblebees.
Actually, Brian, if you don't care, we should have Jason share this Overlord photo to the live chat.
Do it.
Because it might be that not a lot of our audience knows how big Overlord was, and having it next to Tidal Wave like that is actually fairly useful.
Yep.
Tidal Wave.
Yeah.
What camera did I take this with? It was...
I loved Tidal Wave when he came out. He was like my absolute favorite when
I still like
that.
It was
a great toy. I have all three all three versions that came out.
I love that two. Energon version. I still have that in the box. I love that. Yeah,
that's really pretty. The Takara Micron Legend version is also a really good deck. I love the Hasbro original one, too. Like, each one has really good qualities, completely different from the other ones.
But yeah, so big powered, awesome, coming out. I'm going to spend a lot of money on it, and I don't regret it. And Diecast needs to get right or get left, so...
I'm not getting it.
So yeah, you're talking about replacing Matt someday. We should replace Diecast for not caring.
I didn't say we're replacing Matt. I just said if Matt got angry with us and hated us and decided to leave.
Oh, I'm not angry with you guys or hate you guys. It's Transformers that pushes, you know, the boundaries of my patience these days. But like, I don't understand. Diecast buys everything.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what gets me.
What? Why are you avoiding this?
Why is this the line he won't cross?
I can understand if you're not as excited about it as me or Brian or Don, but why is it a pass?
Why are you wrong about this?
Why are you wrong?
No, I can understand what he's saying. If it was cheaper, I would definitely consider it. But that $150.
So when you find it on Taobao.
When I find it on Taobao, I might pick it up.
He just dropped $60,000 like on solar panels. He's got to, you know, cut back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, but he's eventually, when the electric company installs that meter that makes them pay him for the excess electricity, he's going to make all that money back in no time. Just like 40 just years. You wait. That's definitely
it's his own personal Amazon link.
Yeah. Use your extra power to pay for big power.
Yes. Okay, so moving along. Who is that? Wait. Go ahead.
You guys can move along. I'm just going to stay here looking at these pictures of big power.
There you go.
Diecast, get in the zone. The Transformers zone.
He
gets that. I will say this. Zone has one of probably probably second to Headmasters, but it has one of the best Japanese opening themes of all the series.
Yeah, and it's got Imusa. Don loves Imusa.
Zone. I can take or leave zone.
The zone bunny. Okay. So, who is that Autobot? New siege artwork of unknown character turns up on South African retailer website, and Rob spent 45 minutes putting together his Photoshop for that.
Thank you, Rob.
I wish I'd got the edges a little bit cleaner, but you know.
Well, you put more effort into that than I probably would have.
So I'm just
more in than I should have.
This is a Pokemon reference, right?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yes.
It's Jigglypuff seen from above.
Oh, it's not Mr. Mime.
No, never Mr. Mime.
Never Mr. Mime. Cool. So, what do we know? I didn't read the article.
This picture came turned up on a. South African toy retailer website, and it seems to be related to Siege, since this character shows up on, you know, two different banners, but we have no idea who it is. I, you know, one of the earliest pieces of speculation is Roller, and that's just because it is standing next to Optimus Prime in the one banner, but I have a feeling Prime is just there for recognition value.
Huffer?
I would say Huffer if the colors were
closer. Yeah.
So it's more than the silhouette.
Yeah, just page through to the next image. And,
oh, there you go. I see. Okay, I just saw the silhouette and I thought it was okay.
Yeah, someone linked me to a MicroMaster with a similar color scheme, but the color layout is not quite the same. I'm still thinking it's possible that it could be a MicroMaster, just because light is on the chest. Looks like it'd be a great place for a screw to be on a MicroMaster.
Yeah, I mean, if you eliminate like the backpack, it looks like a Target Master, just in the design.
Yeah,
aesthetic.
That's a good point too. But yeah, we don't actually if seen who this is. I have not made the connection.
Is that new figure Diecast they were coming out with? They were going to name a Transformer after me. That might be it.
You know, I don't know whether this holds any merit or not, but when I look at that, when you said Target Master, Brian, I'm thinking that connects to like a helicopter, and that canopy and that backpack becomes part of like the old Mega Pretenders.
Oh, I can see that.
You know how they used to, you know, like Thunderwing, the shuttle jet would plug into the bottom of the nose.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see that backpack lifting up and connecting to a larger figure, like a helicopter character. But the only helicopter character that was a Target Master was Spinister.
Yeah, like with the face and the shape of the head and the shape of the torso, it just really looks like a Target Master to me.
Yeah, I mean, there was speculation this might be the Battle Master Smash Town.
What is it, Don?
The one we're thinking is going to be the hammer.
The hammer for Ultra Magnus.
It
could be.
Because that could be the hammer backpack.
The only inconsistency here is that this looks completely different in style from the Siege art we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Maybe.
True.
So that's making me question what this might actually be.
I'm just going to go back to the silhouette and say it's Huffer.
He does match Prime's colors. The silhouette
is Huffer.
He does match Prime's colors, so I guess that's why some people are going for it.
It's kind of like Alpha Trion's colors.
Powered Convoy colors?
That looks more like a... Is it mauve? It's less red. It's not a bright red. It's like a muted, ugly red.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something we'll get eventually.
Let's go with Maroon, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
His name is Maroon 5.
Oh, God. Transformer Siege, Takara Tomy Wave 2, High Res Stock Photo, Shockwaves, Submarine Mode, Micromasters, Megatron, and more. So we have a Submarine Mode, but the version that we see doesn't look like it has much of a handle. I mean, whatever that...
It's definitely a submarine in spirit more than in function.
You can still hold it upside down, I'm pretty sure.
It will just be very uncomfortable.
So does this have all the armor on it? Like, could the armor be attached to make a gun handle?
No, I don't think it could.
Okay.
No, I don't.
I see the little hole. I see the little hole there, though, in the middle of the peg hole. I don't know.
Yeah, no, so the 5mm holes in the mast look like they're actually for the hose to plug into, because it looks like the hose does not stay in one place during transformation. You take it out from one point and plug it into another one. It may even come out of the arm, too. I can't tell if it comes out on that end, but it looks like it does have 5mm plugs in at least one end, so you can move it around.
I forgot who said it. May have been everybody, but... That certainly looks like the best Shockwave that we've gotten, at least in generations.
It is.
Yes,
this is a Siege toy that I'm actually excited for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had the Fall Cybertron Shockwave, which personally I don't really have a problem with. But I know a lot of people were not satisfied with that. And I really like the Legends class Shockwave for use as a combiner weapon. But yeah, just for like something to stand on its own and be a really good Shockwave. What is it going to be? 13 years later, we finally hit it.
Mm-hmm. Shock Blast was the last one.
Yeah, but that was Energon.
Yeah.
I really, since I wasn't on the show
last
week.
I'm saying 13 years because that's when Classic started. Oh. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah. Since I wasn't on the show to talk about this last week, I really love how this looks in each of its modes. I just do not like how the base Shockwave robot and the accessory parts interact with each other in robot mode. I don't think I'm really quite satisfied with how any of that looks, but I don't care because the base robot mode looks really good, and I like both of its space battleships. So that's, I think I'm going to have to end up with that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what's saving this, I think, you know, for a lot of people from just being a $50 Voyager. Voyager, otherwise known as the Takara Tomy Price Voyager, is that like the space, the whole built up space battleship mode is really cool looking if you're into like late 80s sci-fi and especially like space anime design kind of stuff, because that's totally ripping on the Alexandria class a little bit.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean the robot mode buildup. Yeah, I actually called you out last week when I was making that point too. The built up robot mode too is just kind of like a wacky bonus thing, honestly. It's very unintrusive to how the toy is designed from what we can see. And if you're into just like crazy stuff to do with your toys, it's perfect for that. And otherwise you can ignore it. It's because it makes a little like sled that it can stand on too, so the parts don't go to waste either way.
So real quick on the others. So Megatron, not crazy about it. I understand why the tank treads are on the back, but to me, I look at that and it looks really reminiscent, a subdued almost homage, not that it's intentional, to the classics Megatron with the big, weird
leader Megatron.
I think it's actually referential to how a Megatron's designed in IDW, because that was a common thing in Megatron's design over the last several years.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking that it wasn't a leader class. It was the one that came with. It was Deluxe, wasn't it?
The Nerf gun one.
The Nerf gun one. Yeah, with the weird wings thing. I don't like the robot mode, but I love that the gun has like fire blast. Does the Hasbro version have that?
Yeah. Okay. That's the so what you're seeing is where it has the Target Master. Yeah. The fire blasting comes with the Target Master, not with Megatron. Oh,
gotcha. I like the tank mode for Megatron though a lot. Hound.
Yeah, Hound's, the tank mode's good. I also
Hound
I like
is
the
great in person. Yeah.
I like the combination of weapons on Megatrons. Like you can put the sword blade over the fusion cannon, I think, and then there's also the tank's main gun that makes a sniper rifle thing. Like it's all really interesting looking. I'll probably end up with this, damn it.
Yeah, same.
I really like that they do something different with Hound, at least from a G1 version. But I really do kind of hate that he can store Ravage on his back, like the Classics toy. That's just. It makes me feel old, so I don't like that. Again, Flywheels. Flywheels is beautiful. I love Flywheels.
Yeah, Flywheels turned out really nice.
I have a funny story about Flywheels.
Go ahead, shoot.
Is it safe to share on the show, or no. Do you have to, like, you know, go into after?
Then there's a bunch of MicroMasters, so.
I will share eventually down the road.
You can't share it now?
Yeah.
Why not?
Just, you know, make notes so you don't forget the details later.
Yeah, why can't you share it now?
It's embargoed. They're not allowed to talk about things for, what, 2 months?
December Maybe. 1st. Yeah, December 1st.
Stuff from last week?
Yes.
Lame. Okay, so.
No, Diecast, the correct answer is no comment.
No comment.
Yeah.
My comment is lame. Okay, so we'll move along then.
Yeah, that's something that I actually realized just this morning. We're probably like 6 weeks away at most from seeing some of these toys hit retail.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
Kind of crazy.
Okay, so
I'm so excited. I'm excited about the whole first wave. I want a
Shockwave.
Shockwave is actually the one I'm least excited about.
I'm gonna hang up on Diecast.
This week on Radio Free Cybertron, Diecast is wrong.
Yeah. So our pals at Unicron.com, and we love Unicron.com, by the way. I don't get to mention that enough. They spotted the Hasbro diorama, and Hasbro does the best dioramas at the shows. There's a little Crimzeek.
I don't know how I missed that.
It's small.
It's yeah. Little and tucked into a corner.
And they squeeze so much into those dioramas. I mean, I'm not observant. I would have totally missed it.
Well, that's the Crimzeek, I believe, from... I got that in one of my KO Megatrons that they got. So I think that's the existing mold for Crimzeek from one of the Megatrons.
It probably is.
Yeah. It may not actually be included with anything coming up. It may just be there as an Easter egg, but that's still pretty neat.
I mean, Crimzeek wouldn't exist in the Siege timeline anyway.
Yeah, because it's from season 2.
True.
It's not 1984.
Hey, there could be little Crimzeeks running around Cybertron. You never know.
And
I wouldn't rule out the possibility. Like, that'd be an easy thing to retcon that it's some kind of existing form of Cybertronian life that they just happened to find one of in their stuff on Earth.
And
if they wanted to just have that be an inclusion with some toy just to get a thing out there for the collectors, it's something they would do.
And Flame Toys has posted photos on their Facebook page showing their Kuro Kara Kuri line shattered glass drift figure. I'm certain somebody somewhere sometime will appreciate that.
It's really nice looking. It's really pretty.
It's weird seeing
shattered glass. That's not a prime.
I don't care for shattered glass, and I don't care for drift, so it does nothing for me. This is just a Gundam.
Well, but basically, it's Deadpool.
Pretty much,
you know, that's Deadpool. You know,
it's a Deadpool Gundam
as a Transformer.
It's a Deadpool Gundam.
What was it? MMC reformatted drift and wing that came out earlier this year, or late last year. Those were Gundams.
Yeah,
I loved it. I love wing. Is this wing?
Let's just say yes.
Sure. I love it.
Arrow Alpha is wing, I think.
Yeah.
So if that's what that one is, that's Wing. I don't remember what the code name was for Drift.
What was the Flame Toys toy?
Aider Beta, I think.
Oh, God. I can't believe you remember that. What was the Flame Toys figure you were talking about last week that you thought looked so good?
I probably wasn't.
I thought actually even you liked something that we talked about last week. I don't remember what it was.
I think it was Drift.
Big Powered. Okay.
No, I think it was this Drift because they had a display one at New York Comic Con, so we saw a couple pictures of it then.
Oh, so Eric,
I think I was remarking how good the deco looks on
that. And I'm pretty sure Eric liked it, which I guess makes sense why I don't like it.
Well, so, you know, the forearms.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Hey, so go to tfradio.net/studio and you can pick up that Ironhide for just $30. And if you go to tfradio.net/Amazon, you can pick up, if you want to pick it up, slight markup, that Optimal Optimus, but don't buy them all, because I've got to buy one after the show.
You can buy one right now.
I'm waiting
That would be, you know, customary.
I'm waiting for the direct deposit to hit my bank account for my prepaid fun money card in 2 hours.
Right.
3 hours. So I'm going to wait.
You raise a good point about Optimal Optimus because, like, I think Target's the only major retailer still fully supporting the leader class. I think a few Walmarts are starting to hold the leader class toys again, but not all of them. So
I don't expect to see it, so I'm going to buy it that way.
Yeah, I think Amazon's probably your best bet, and the markup is going to probably balance out any gas you'd waste looking around various Targets for Wave 3 of Leader Class that they're not going to get in.
Oh, nope. Floppy.
I got a monkey hanging off my back.
Oh, God. So, yeah, good point. Hey, good point. Now that I have to drive like a gigantic vehicle to haul these kids around safely.
Where are you driving now?
It's like Durango.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Oh, got a new That's vehicle.
Big.
Nice.
Okay, you're driving Deanna Troi around?
Well, better than Deanna Troi driving you around, because that's how you end up getting smashed into a planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people were knocking on this. I really like this.
You get carried away by Tin Man.
I haven't transformed it yet.
But no, that was Tam Elbrun that got carried away by Tin Man.
Dude, that hurts. Okay, so there's that. But anything you buy from Amazon, I just got a copy of Three Amigos on Blu-ray.
I'm sorry,
it was not.
You
for
got
me.
More than that.
Yeah, I mean, I got some other stuff that I gotta buy. Then I gotta throw some other stuff on eBay to repay it. I got a few things on Amazon recently. So tfradio.net/Amazon, it'll help us out. And it'll cover the cost of the show, which are ever increasing. So tfradio.net/Amazon, we would appreciate it. Also buy a shirt. John's not here so to talk about the shirts, but they're awesome. Diecast is wearing one. Our new shirts are not up yet.
We really need to get John to get after them to fix that.
But Ant from tfu.info, Anthony, wore a couple of our shirts at New York Comic Con. So whenever we had a picture of him up, you got to see one of our awesome shirts. It's pretty great. tfradio.net/shirt or shirtcycle.com/tfradio. You know you want to. Go ahead and do it. Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Not much. Just an excerpt from an interview with Christina Hodson, the writer of the Bumblebee movie. So... she seems to have a pretty good idea of the characters she's working with and what she wanted to do with them. So, you know, everything we hear about this is fairly encouraging.
Yeah, it's making me more and more scared about what the movie's actually going to look like when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the worst case scenario is we find out whether or not we've been correctly blaming Michael Bay for all of this over the years.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Huh. Yeah, you raise a good point there. Also, I just want to point out, we do have a lot of gallery coverage from New York Comic Con, including some mirror photos that Diecast took during his time at the Hasbro event. So if you still need to catch up on what happened at New York Comic Con, the reveals and such, we have all that, the official photos and all that. So be sure to go check those out, too.
Yeah, please do. Hey, Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 75. Knife to Meet You, Pathfinder. An assassin attacks the group, and he uses a knife. Get it? RFC Extra 46, North NYCC with Anthony Brucalli. We are finally able to get Anthony on to talk about everything Transformer-related from NYCC, ranging from the lack of information on upcoming Transformer comics to the time he got to spend seeing the toys in person, and gives his impression on what he saw. All that, and get details on the plot to ensure that we make Z-Cons Before Unicron a reality.
Stop it.
I'm just reading what it says.
In the episode description, too, I didn't add that.
Yeah, that's right. Ant knows what's up.
Yeah,
I'm just reading what it says. That's
we talked about that with Hasbro. They even said we know what you want to me. So,
yeah, they know what you want, but
yeah, I wanted for 20 plus years.
So they said they listened to the show, and did you say I'm sorry?
No, but they said we know what you want. So I think they did mention, or at least someone asked a question about HasLab and if Unicron was still a possibility. And I think we talked this a little bit last week. That still is a possibility that we could potentially get a HasLab Unicron.
It's possible. Hmm. I mean, if HasLab persists.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it will happen if it keeps going.
And it'll only cost you $500.
At
probably.
Least.
Take my money.
Yeah, it just depends how ambitious they get with it, I guess.
And I just want to remark, it still amazes me, even these years later, even though that we are starting our 20th year here in 5 days. I know, right? That we go somewhere and, like, people know who we are. It's still weird.
Yes, yeah. It is. It is
very,
weird.
Very, very much so, yes.
It's very weird.
And I shout out to John Warden and Ben Montana.
Montana.
Every time I go to the events, they're awesome. They're great to talk to, and I really enjoy it. And they are always excited in the line, and I think their excitement kind of wears. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited for Siege. Like, I wasn't before I started talking to them, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Once I got to see it in person and talk to those guys, and now I'm like, I can't wait for Wave 1 to come out.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're easily manipulated is what you're saying.
He is easily manipulated.
What else is new?
Yeah. So, again, is that right? Next episode is the first episode of our 20th year? We'll have our 20th anniversary?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and then we'll have our 20th anniversary in a little over a year. Oh, dear God.
Crazy.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah. So if I could just get my hair back.
Well, okay. But, so what you do.
We're sponsored by Rogaine. What you do is you. Next week.
Yeah, no. What you do is you start growing your beard out a little bit more and shave that off and collect all the shavings. And then by the time the 20th anniversary episode comes around, you'll have enough to glue onto your skin and just, you know, have a Kilby wig.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. What are we doing? Okay, so I guess that's
it's the end of the show.
Find us at tfradio.net/592 for show notes for this episode. We are on Twitter at TF Radio. We are also on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio and on Instagram at TF Podcast. I am personally on Twitter at B Kilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. John is at that John D everywhere. Rob Springer, who is not here, is at Rob Springer on Twitter, and also at zonebase.org. Chris, where do people find you?
Playwithphotography.com, my website with my photo gallery work and also some written articles. I just posted a new one today, which is a bit of a buyer's guide for cameras good for doing toy photography stuff. So I've got some criteria to look for and also a few recommendations at different price levels and complexity levels, let's say. So definitely go check that out. And I'm on Twitter at ChrisRTXV, where I'm still in the process of trying to sell some stuff. Please come look at my sales list and buy my things.
Buy his things.
Give me your money.
There goes their money. So you can find that diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at diecast2. You can also get my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews. I do have 2 360s that I threw up. I'm just trying to experiment a little bit with the videos and see if people like these. So please feel free to comment on the videos. I put up Marvel's Monster Venom Build-A-Figure 360, and then I also have Unique Toys Challenger, which is the Last Night Optimus Prime figure that I put 360s up on. So please feel free to watch them. They're real quick. They're only like 2 minutes And leave me your feedback. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. And I'd appreciate it.
Cool.
Tell them what you like. Tell them what you really, really like.
So just real quick, just got a text from our buddy Joey, JT Hogg. And hope you are doing well, buddy. He is recovering from surgery. And he just said that he talked me into buying Optimal Optimus using the link. Please don't buy them all, because I need to buy one. So
I hope he's, I think we all wish Joey well.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Of course. Matt.
He's still going to beat you up, Diecast.
Is he going? Is he going to TFCon?
I hope he is. So, yeah, but I haven't heard anything.
I haven't talked to him about it. I'm not going, so I don't keep track of who is. Matt, how do people get a hold of you? Okay, Don.
Hey, well, they can listen to the show on the weeks he decides to be here.
Don.
That's a good way to get a hold of Matt.
How do people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Cool. Rob.
I am on Twitter and YouTube as Flailthroughs. Still covering Gundam Battle Operation 2 there, which is going pretty well. I take requests for various mobile suits in the game to be shown off at patreon.com/flailthroughs. And actually, I guess that's about it.
Hey,
oh, good. I was afraid I got that wrong last week when I plugged that for you.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, do you take requests to not have anything from Bill Divers? Just so I can go ahead and preempt you that in advance.
Pay him.
Luckily, I don't think
that'll be the $6 tier.
Yeah. Luckily, I don't think there's anything from Build Divers in Battle Operation 2, so that's not an issue. If I ever get back to New Gundam Breaker, it might be an issue there.
Cool. And our intrepid producer today, God, you've been producing a lot lately while I have these computer issues. Jason, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, I enjoy it, so that's fine. You can get a hold of me. I'm at Jason S. Kirk on Twitter if you actually, want to go on Twitter, which I don't know why you'd want to do that, but yeah, right there.
Because I don't want to get on Facebook.
Yeah, it's mostly momentum at this point.
Yeah.
Cool. So with Jason producing, I have to find other things to distract me from the show. So,
like buying figures on
Amazon. No, I did anyway. Now it's like texting Jason, Joey. So, okay, cool. So we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening or watching. We'll catch you later. Have a good one.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
But it's not a happy day. They stole your stuff.
It's not a happy day because you've been sick for the last 2 months.
I have been, yeah. It sucks. Okay.
It's a...
Jesus Christ, I'm going to die. Day.
It's a terrible day in Wilkes.
Oh, it's... I mean, I want to move back to Wilkes. Did you guys see the spider that I shared on Twitter? That thing...
Brian, they're more scared of us than we are of them.
Dude, that thing is every bit as big as... It's as big as some deluxes. Some smaller Transformers deluxes.
So the current line, then.
Like Bumblebee.
So it's nearly as big as Bumblebee here.
I understand scale in Masterpiece. That's fine.
I don't understand scale, period.
I don't want my deluxes in scale, because we get little tiny figures like that. Bumblebee was giant.
The whole line being in scale thing is just a smokescreen to obscure. We got to make as many of these toys smaller as we can. We'll throw in a few bigger ones here and there just to kind of smooth it over a little bit, but it's really just a way to disguise that, yeah, we've had to downsize the toys again.
They said they, they get out the scale chart like all the time, and I'm like,
no, why? Who cares?
Reminds me of, kids on the forums like pulling up the scale chart.
No, who cares? you know who cares? John Warden cares, because John Warden has a side interest in like scale model stuff, model building. He built those dioramas we've been seeing at the Comic-Cons. Oh. Remember the little like ladders and doors and stuff that was on Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus and Devastator, little details like that, which he specifically would call out at certain points where 1/144th scale. Like, I'm sure that's another thing that he initiated because it's one of his interests and he wants to see that reflected in the line. So, like, that's part of why there's probably more of an emphasis on ideas of scale here. But, you know, the counterpoint of that is they can use scale to disguise making the toys smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate scale in the deluxe size class. It's just scale. Terrible.
Yeah, face it, diecast.
If I would have my choice, I would rather just have like toys that make no sense in relative size to each other, but were interesting, rather than have this or that sacrificed and have little tiny toys just for the sake of, okay, so this makes sense if you put next to this based on this piece of 25 or 30 year old ancillary print media that nobody in the public was ever meant to see in the first place. You know,
it's basically it's like Optimus versus Motormaster was disappointing, but it wasn't like fatal.
Yeah,
we got scale as collectors by buying a deluxe Bumblebee and a leader class Optimus Prime. That was our scale. Like that, I bought the leader Optimus Prime. He's the big one.
He'd be more like
Voyager Optimus Prime and a Legends Bumblebee. You know.
Okay, so let's go ahead and
make the smaller characters in the smaller size class.
You bought one in a bigger size class. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
That scale worked fine for me.
But I just want to point out, as a kid, I don't think I even thought about having any kind of scale. Certainly, you know, I didn't think about scale with
I did. I was always like, why are the combiner figures like much smaller than everybody
else? I'm making a Don joke. Don't interrupt me. So, but you know, I wasn't like 25 when those toys came out, so you know.
I remember as a kid always thinking, why does this not look anything like the cartoon?
well, there's that too. So Rob said in the chat that Ultra Magnus shouldn't be coming on Psycho Gundam size. No, so based on the size of the vehicle mode, like using that as a scale reference, Ultra Magnus would actually just be the size of the original Gundam.
Okay, let's go.
About 60 feet tall. If I was going to have my choice of what kind of scale to be consistent with, it would be the scale of the vehicles, not the scale of the robots.
Yeah.
Okay, scale. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Let's start.